Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. This week we're talking with Nevermore from Disgruntled Vets and Disgruntled Discussions. Nevermore, how are you today?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well. This is going to be a difficult show, and the reason I brought Nevermore on is actually threefold. Nevermore has a lot of experience in working with veterans who are suicidal, and that happens to be the subject of the first part of our show. She also has experience in retail and can give some of the store's perspective on the presence of service dogs on the property, and she happens to be my significant other. So she can give some perspective on what it's like to take a service dog to the store from a third person's perspective. So to begin with, I need to read this news story real quickly, and I'm going to let you know now it's pretty disturbing. This happened February 13th, this was posted on the... I'm not sure what news, but it happened in Florida. The headline is, Cops Shoot 84-Year-Old Veteran Facing Eviction Over His Tiny Service Dogs. Homestead, Florida. An elderly Korean War veteran was gunned down by four police officers in his home on Monday. Raymond Bishop, 84, died inside his home at the Hidden Grove Apartments after the veteran had become suicidal over an eviction notice he received because of his service dogs. They were throwing him out. He had nowhere to go, said neighbor Jonathan Rodriguez, who often fed Bishop and took him to Veterans Hospital for medical treatment, according to the Miami Herald. Bishop became despondent after he was slated for eviction for having unauthorized service dogs, a 13-pound pooch named Roxy and a 30-pound one named Ranger. According to the Herald, a psychiatrist at the Miami Veterans Affairs Medical Center said the dogs had a tremendously favorable influence on Bishop. Mr. Bishop's pets, in his case, had provided invaluable emotional therapeutic benefit, Dr. Ernesto Grenier wrote in a letter filed in the court record. Bishop had been fighting eviction since July of 2017. However, it all came to an end this week as he was taken out by four Miami-Dade officers who all opened fire. The news of Bishop's death came as a shock to his attorney. I'm not going to go ahead and finish this, but I just wanted to bring this article up because we're going to talk about veteran suicide, PTSD. We're going to talk about service dogs in relation to that. And we're going to talk about the slant the news has about the whole situation, because if you go on and continue reading this article, it's very slanted, and it's slanted not only against the veteran but against the police officers involved. Nevermore, what are your thoughts?
Well, first, I'm going to put this out there. Anytime there's any kind of news, remember, we're getting this off of an article. We weren't there. We have to take it as it is. If you personally know this person, we do apologize for anything that's not right or wrong. But my first take is the main focus of their definition of service dog.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's a big part of the problem. And honestly, I'm of the opinion that Mr. Bishop's problem to begin with is not understanding the laws that protect the presence of service dogs and or emotional support animals in housing. That is not regulated by the Americans with Disabilities Act, but is related by the Fair Housing Act. And the Fair Housing Act lumps both service dogs and emotional support animals together as assistance animals. It does not make a distinction. It categorizes both as one. So, according to the Fair Housing Act, the assistance animals that belong to this gentleman were unauthorized. A lot of people don't understand whether you're disabled. Well, you have to be disabled, first of all, to be covered by the Fair Housing Act. But second of all, you have to request reasonable accommodation. You have to let the housing know that you are disabled and that you have emotional support animals. It's as simple as going into the office and saying, I'm disabled and have emotional support animals. They usually request a letter from your doctor, psychiatrist, or psychologist, or in the case of the VA, they will accept a letter from the clinical social worker, licensed clinical social worker, LCSW, because they work in the mental health field, stating that you are disabled and that you would benefit from the presence of your emotional support animals. And at that point, again, reasonable accommodation is simply that they allow you to have the dogs. There are a couple of exceptions. We're not going to get deep into the law, but those dogs are completely different than a service dog. A service dog is individually trained to perform tasks to assist its disabled handler with their disability. Those are also protected by the Fair Housing Act and by the same part of the Fair Housing Act. But the distinction is service dogs are protected for public access in places like grocery stores and the like by the Americans with Disabilities Act. Emotional support animals are not.
I guess my next part would be the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not all lawyers know half of what they think, because this probably could have been resolved fairly easy as long as the dogs were not causing an issue. All he would have had to have done is actually take the steps of the law and file, and none of this would have happened.
That is correct. Now, somewhere deeper in the article, it says that a woman claimed one of the dogs bit her. And that's an important, possibly a fact. It was not confirmed by the news article, but both service dogs and emotional support animals are still required to be under the handler's control at all times. And if there was a bite, that dog then becomes a danger and legally is no longer reasonable accommodation to allow the dog to stay in that facility. And that's true whether it's a service dog in a grocery store or if it's an emotional support animal in an apartment complex. If the dog is biting people, the dog is dangerous. It's that simple. If the dog is provoked, if somebody sees the dog and kicks it, and the dog snaps because it's defending himself, both laws also make an accommodation for provocation. Nobody's going to blame a dog or a person for lashing back if somebody's lashing at them. But there is a distinction and there's a difference. And again, it comes back to the way that service dogs and emotional support animals are portrayed in the news and the massive amounts of confusion that it generates. Even handlers of service dogs who go into public with their dogs every day have a lot of problems communicating because of misunderstandings of what law is applicable where. Now, I got to say something. When we first discussed this article, it's very sad and it's tragic, and I really feel badly for the family of the gentleman, if he had any family left. We don't have those facts. But something interesting that you said was they shot him to stop him from committing suicide. And, you know, that's really true. When we're dealing with PTSD, and specifically with veterans with PTSD, do you think maybe there's a disconnect between police training or other agencies' training and the kind of training that you've undergone to help deal with veteran suicide and help try to prevent it?
Yes. Currently, as of right now, there is no nationwide across the board training for not just veterans, but anybody that is suffering from PTSD. So every department has its own methods of trying to talk people down, and some just can't even do that. He had a weapon. They did what they're supposed to by policy. I know what the article says, and I'm not here to bash on police. Well, he could have used a taser. We weren't there, and we don't know what was going on. If they thought their lives were in danger, then they did what they had to do by their departmental policies. every organization that is Nationwide Police, whenever there's a shooting, there's always an after investigation. You've seen the results on the media, however far-fetched they are, but there's always something followed up. So if anything was wrong during any of this, and 95% of the organizations now wear body cameras with audio, we would have had a follow-up saying that the officers were in the wrong somewhere or that they were let go. So I'm not going to sit here and bash the police. The problem is they're not trained. Unless you can get a veteran who has dealt with PTSD, the chances of actually successfully talking down one of us is slim to none. When you say things like, you just need to calm down, for example, that will amp somebody with PTSD up twice as bad. There are other ways to get them down to an even level where you can actually reason with them, because when they're at that level with a gun, you can't reason with them of common sense. It can't be, well, you don't want to die, because at that moment they do. There is no reasoning. So you have to take steps to knock them down to levels to where they start hearing you again. Things like the dogs are involved, right? One of the first things I would have probably said was, oh, look, you have dogs. Can you tell me about your dogs? And I would start talking and refocus them until they were down to a reasonable matter. But again, wasn't there. Do everything virtually. I've not had to be standing in front of somebody with a gun about to commit suicide. So this is just from what we do every day, not personally facing the vets. But it also reminds me of what else I said was, it's a shame, because had people have the resources that we have by the internet, they may not have even had to have went through any of this. There are enough groups to where they may have found him another place. They may have, you know, went up there and talked to these people. There's a lot of million different things that could have been done. And what's sad is the younger generation has access to Facebook, where there's countless groups, veterans, you know. And every group has resources. 95% of them can tell you where to go for just about anything, up into including service dogs. Not saying it would have helped, but he would have stood a bigger chance of success, because this obviously went on for 6 months. And in those 6 months, a lot can be done. Normally, you get a vet in distress and you have a matter of days. You know, you get, I'm going to be homeless tomorrow. We scramble. So we're good at, you know, moving stuff along. And I'm pretty sure we could have gotten volunteers and stuff to move this man, help him out, figure it out. It's all unfortunate, because 95% of the human population either makes an assumption that they know what PTSD is, or they have no idea and can, you know, they can't deal with it.
Absolutely. And, you know, and we've been having a lot of discussion about PTSD and about portrayal of PTSD in the media and the medical implications of PTSD, and you know, one of the things that in conversation that I have that has stuck with me is that PTSD is psychology's and psychiatry's definition of what is wrong with you, but it can't possibly encompass everything that's going on in the disabled veteran's mind, or anybody else who has PTSD. PTSD is a way to label these certain list of symptoms, but it doesn't take a look at your moral dilemmas, the grieving, survivor's guilt. It doesn't take a look at the spiritual implications of the experience that caused the condition. And quite frankly, I personally don't feel that PTSD is a mental health disorder. PTSD is the brain's natural response, makes physical changes. It's the natural response to adverse conditions that the person goes through. And any person can get it, not just veterans have PTSD. And it's a survival mechanism. It is a human condition. It is not a disability. Not a disorder.
It's exactly what the brain is programmed to do when certain circumstances arise in order to enable the person to survive the situation. The only problem is once that situation has ended, the brain has changed and there's no changing it back.
The way I look at it is the best I can describe is most people have shutdown mechanisms. Like if they're in too much pain, they will pass out. If they are bleeding out, they will pass out because once you are unconscious, your blood flow slows. Your body has mechanisms that shut down for a reason. Your brain has the exact same mechanism. The only problem is once it's done it, you can't undo it.
Yeah. So back to the media. One of the most important things I think that a service dog handler or family member or business owner who's concerned can do is go find out for themselves. And there are some really simple ways to find out what the laws really are regarding service dogs, what the definitions are, what these words mean. What is an assistance animal? What is an emotional support animal? What is a service dog? It's pretty simple. The main go-to for service dogs is ada.gov. That's the website, ada.gov. You go there, there's a little search box, you type in service dogs, it brings up multiple documents with definitions, you know, the history of the law, a really handy question and answer that can probably handle 99% of any issues you have in a public place, because it asks those questions. When can we disinclude a service dog? You know, where can we say a service dog can't go? All those questions are answered in one pretty simple document. The Fair Housing Act is a little denser, a little more difficult to work through. But again, FHA.gov, go there, click in the search box, type service dogs. It comes up. It gives you a list. It gives you information. Air Carriers Access Act, same thing. Air Carriers Access Act protects service dogs and emotional support animals on airplanes, nowhere else. It regulates those animals on airplanes. It has its own definitions. It lumps PTSD service dogs in together with emotional support animals. Even though PTSD service dogs are task trained just like any other service dog, mobility assistance, diabetic alert, even seeing eye dogs, PTSD service dogs have the same level of training. They have to perform a task to assist their disabled handler with their disability. It lumps them in as ESAs. Fair Housing Act lumps all service dogs together with ESAs and calls them all assistance animals. And that creates a lot of confusion. But when you break it down and look at each act, each law, and look at the definitions, it's pretty simple to see why they do it, where it's applicable, and where it isn't. And it's really, honestly, I spent 15 years in the Navy as a professional journalist. It's really not hard to spend 30 seconds on Google, pull up those acts, and then spend the next 30 minutes reading the facts. It's not hard, but that's not the way media works today, and so we get blasted with this. 84-year-old veteran with PTSD shot by cops over his service dogs. And that's not the whole story, not by a long shot.
No, it's not. And that's the part that bothers me. I know the media likes to just shove it so that it fits their agenda. And to me, this one screams, crazy veteran gets killed by bad cops over a good dog. That's basically what it's broke down to. And even if you read what they actually did, the headline doesn't match their story. It's literally, and most people won't read the whole thing. They'll read that headline and be like, it's a shame, and then keep going. And the worst part is 95% of that article, I don't know if it's true or not, just with the way media is right now, it could be a completely different story and we just not know. That's why I said we have to base this off the info we could find. We found a couple of articles. This was the least biased that I could find.
Yeah, it was the least incendiary article. And again, we are not in any way trying to attack the police officers involved. We certainly feel terrible about the loss of the veteran's life. But you know, honestly, from the ground up, if you
work backwards through the story, a lot of this could have been prevented with more accurate information being available. It really could have. Something as simple as when somebody writes a news article about emotional support animals in housing, them making sure they understand the difference between an emotional support animal and a service animal, and the difference in the laws that dictate where each can go. It's shocking to me that it's really simple for me to sit down, look up what we need for, you know, what I need for this kind of situation, quote the laws, bam, bam, bam. But you know, there are older generations who aren't spending the time on the internet, aren't able to do the research that way, maybe never even really learned to be able to do the research that way, who don't have that information ready, available, and at hand. And I think us younger generations of veterans, we're failing our seniors in that matter. There's got to be a way we can make ourselves more available, more readily accessible to those people who went before us and who we owe our freedom to.
I actually got a message the other day saying, and I'm not going to say which organization, but stating that they had joined an organization just for vets. Well, it was founded by an older generation. And they said that they just couldn't do it because their resources and their ways are so outdated. But instead of him walking away, I would have encouraged him to, why not still join and teach them new ways?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just it. I've spent a little bit of time sharing information about service dogs with a couple of VFW posts, and they were absolutely amazed. They didn't understand the law. And these are older ladies and gentlemen, business owners in a small community. So people who could be affected by me walking into their shop with my dog. And they had no clue about the ADA. And, you know, instead of saying, no, we can't do this, and turning around and running away, our generation, maybe we should say, hey, somebody's got to carry the banner. We're losing more and more of you every day. How can we help bring this organization into a more modern age where it's more accessible to all veterans? And that's a really good point. I think it's something important that we may be failing as a younger generation because we can do so much online without ever having to go face-to-face that we've forgotten that there is face-to-face out there. And I know for me personally, when I have the opportunity to spend time with fellow veterans face-to-face, it's a lot more rewarding than, you know, a 20-minute message exchange on Facebook or something.
Yeah, I mean, even without Facebook, you have the internet. If you take state by state, county by county, it will show you your local DAV, who is going to know tons more than an older veteran would know. But they don't use them. Most of them are like all have representatives at the VFW or the Legion that go in and do this for them. But unfortunately, they're from the same time. So they're not learning the new ways. I'm starting to see an increase. We get more and more Vietnam era vets, but I've not seen anybody beyond that. You don't see World War II vets and Korean vets Facebooking. Yeah. Not really. And if they do, it's basically to take a weird profile picture, and that's the last you see of them. They don't join groups and things like that. They don't know how. So without teaching them that there's Facebook and stuff, it just younger vets need to step in and start helping them so that they know where to look.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The Google is a powerful thing. I mean, you can Google damn near everything. So.
Yep. And if they're not able to teach them, at least make ourselves available, our generation, as a reference, as somebody who they could turn to and say, hey, I need to know about this. Can you help me find out? But if we're not getting involved in organizations, if we're not joining the VFW or the USO or the American Legion, where we're going there and we're meeting these people and we're discussing veteran issues with other veterans, we're not going to learn. We're short-selling ourselves because we're not going to learn. But we're also missing an opportunity to reach out to generations who we wouldn't be here without, and we wouldn't have anything to build off of as a community of veterans if it weren't for what these men and women started. And we don't need to reinvent the wheel. We might need to change the tire and polish the rim a little bit, maybe put some paint on it, but the wheel exists. We just need to figure out how to use it.
Yeah, we need to take it from a wagon wheel to a street racing wheel. But I think people are wanting organizations like that to go ahead and die out and the younger ones start something. The only problem is they've already got a really good foundation.
Mm-hmm.
All they got to do is go try to make changes.
Yep, absolutely.
And they might learn a thing or two, because as much as times have changed, the VA has not much. And these older vets really can get through a VA system, unlike us younger, newer vets, because it's not changed. We would expect it to be like an app. You know, we're like most hospitals, you can put in an app. They're not like that. They don't know what to do with a non-modern facility. As much as they say they're high class, they're not very high class. I mean, the hearing booths are like freaking bunkers, and the rooms are so small, and the bathrooms makes no sense. You know, they lose people. It's just one of those, the VA hasn't changed, so you might learn a thing or two. It's not just about you going in and teaching them something.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to delve into the retail world and the impact service dogs make on your favorite grocery store / everything else store. We'll be right back after this, right here on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
My name is David Libby.
And he proceeded to take the 30 joints and put them in people's shoes, backpacks, luggage, all that.
Welcome to Contraband. Our guest is Johnny Cornwall, Jeff Vicente, Chris Brother Latham. He's the band of Sosra, and I get to cackle on there every now and then.
Well, the guy that owns the Chinese food place, his name is Art.
DV Radio.
I do solemnly swear that I will
support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies,
foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith
and allegiance to the same.
And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States and the officers appointed above me.
And that I will obey the orders of the President of the United States.
And the orders of the officers appointed over me.
According to regulations and the Uniform
Code of Military Justice.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Grab your Oath of Enlistment shirt today at mydvstore.com. Show your pride that you were one of the very few that did take that oath.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I forgot to mention at the beginning of the last segment, this show is powered by DV Radio on WDVR. We are here with Nevermore from Disgruntled Vets and Disgruntled Discussions, and we're going to pick her brain about the retail world and the impact that service dogs have in Walmart.
Yay.
So you work in a Walmart. You're in asset protection, which means that you're one of the people who has to deal with unruly service dogs in their presence.
Yes. Unfortunately, it's generally not unruly service dogs. It's generally unruly. This is a service dog, but it's not people. Lots and lots and lots and lots of purse puppies and untrained pups, literal puppies, like 4 and 5 month old puppies who you know shouldn't be in public access yet because they're still bouncing off the walls and they've still got all the puppy in them and they still want to greet everybody. And, you know, it's a nightmare, actually. I truly dislike it.
Mm-hmm. Now, until recently, Walmart policy was not to ask any dogs to be removed from the store unless they bit somebody or were defecating or urinating.
Not even that. Basically, if they were aggressive, that was it.
Really? Why?
Well, everybody thinks it's so easy. They say stores have a right. Here's the problem. You've got 300 to 400 workers in a building. They're not going to all know the ADA. So they've limited it to keep from people who don't know that walk up and go, "Your dogs aren't allowed in here." They've limited it to only a store manager. The problem with that is by the time you go through all that and get the highest level of management, the dog's probably not even doing what they were previously doing to begin with. You know, unless somebody's standing there bleeding, you can't prove that a dog did anything. And right. You just can't take somebody's word, because I could have a neighbor that I can't stand and turn him into the police and say that, you know, his service dog's aggressive to get it taken away. You don't go by word of mouth. You need kind of evidence. Mm-hmm. The problem is everyone who thinks that they can't grocery shop without their pet.
Right.
I have seen so many people post that grocery stores allow pets to be in shopping carts. I'm going to tell you right now, that's false. There is no mass way to sanitize shopping carts after each use. It doesn't make any sense. People would never have shopping carts. It's very unsanitary, especially if you serve groceries. So when you put your little purse puppy, even if you bring a blanket or his pillow or his bed into the shopping cart, that is all over the shopping cart. Mm-hmm. There's no need. If your dog can't walk on the floor, I'm not sure why you have it in there. There's no need other than unless they're performing a task inside that shopping cart, which I have seen and I will give an example of. There's no reason for a dog to be in a shopping cart. Mm-hmm. Example of when I actually allowed it and told people just to mind their own business was a autistic child was not having a good day at Walmart. Kept taking off. Service dog was doing all he could do, but he got to the point where he's like, "I can't do nothing either." So mom put them both in the buggy. Mm-hmm. Where both of them just sat down and couldn't run off or escape, so mom could have a little bit of sanity to finish shopping.
Right.
And I heard comments such as, "Well, she should just go home. She doesn't need to be here. So she doesn't have the right to shop."
Yeah, that's true.
Because her son can't control his meltdown and his service dog's working as hard as it can, but this is a really bad time right now. It was easier not to, I don't want to use the word confine, but contain them. Mm-hmm. So that the dog could work and the child couldn't run from the dog. Because, you know, the dog's on a leash. 95% of them aren't off leash when I see them at a store. But, and it's just hearing, it's hard from both aspects, because first you're confronting people and questioning them or challenging them about their dog. Mm-hmm. But then you hear people who have no clue about what they're talking about making it 10 times worse. You know,
comments.
With their comments, or they're all gawking. And I'm like, you don't stare at somebody's walker. Why are you staring at this dog? Why are you staring at these people? But at the same time, I have walked up to people holding 6-week-old puppy. "Oh, I just got my puppy today." "Oh, is that a service dog?" "Yes." "What service does it provide?" Can you really tell me what a 6-week-old puppy service can provide? And usually that's about the time where, and they're gradually getting more and more strict. They're easing. Like right now, it's not in the shopping cart. The next step will be removal. of the animals, and they're taking it slow because still not everybody can go address this. They're not allowed to. It's just, I'm not even supposed to unless there's a threat or if that person who has an actual service dog is being harassed. You know, nobody's going to stand there and watch an 8-year-old just get attacked by customers. I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But remember, even though the company has a set policy, there is, every store does something different. Your store could be totally different and not say a peep. I can't say. I just know where we're at. It's become such a problem and nightmare that we're having no choice because there are more vets in that area. It's 5 miles from a VA. There are a lot of real service dogs in there. But the real service dog owners are getting lumped into with these, I almost said a bad word, crappy owners who have pets, and it's making it 10 times harder on them.
Well, and again, you know, it comes back to the misinformation that is just rampant in the media, on Facebook. There's so much misinformation. There are companies out there that advertise and sell, you know, take your dog anywhere, register it as a service dog, and sell these registries. What if you're in a position at the store where you're facing somebody and they pull out their service dog registration card?
I've actually had that happen.
And
all I could do was educate them. I'm sorry, but that card means it's not even worth the value of the paper it's printed on. There is no certification required by the ADA. And when they go, but it's a service dog, well, your service dog just lunged at somebody. So I don't know if you know the ADA. You obviously don't, because you just gave me a fake card that's not worth the paper and your dog's not behaving. But I have a counterexample of that as well. A dog was making a fuss in the store.
Mm-hmm.
The dog was barking, bouncing. When my supervisor got there, she realized that dog was alerting and the vet was so out of it, he wasn't catching the dog. So instead of approaching ugly, she walked up and said, "Excuse me, sir, are you okay?" And that snapped him out of it. And he's like, "No, I'm not." She goes, "Well, your dog's alerting. Do I need to block off the aisle? What do I need to do for you?" And she just shut the aisle down, and we have these little go kits that you can hold sheets up so passerbys can't look down the aisle. She put up the sheets and gave him the time it needed. She didn't ask the dog to be removed because it wasn't acting up. Thank goodness she's heard me enough. She knows the difference, and she actually does know the laws.
That's great. That's great. and that actually brings back in memory. I was shopping in Walmart last fall and was completely overwhelmed. I actually wrote a piece about it, posted it on the Facebook page. It was very difficult. It was Thanksgiving week. I was doing the Thanksgiving shopping. And this is actually going to segue right into the next part of our conversation. People would not leave me alone. I couldn't make it 5 feet in the store without somebody stopping me to try to talk about Skeeter. And I was getting, Skeeter was doing his very best to keep me focused and keep me grounded. But I was becoming completely overwhelmed. I couldn't walk 5 feet without a comment, without somebody saying, "Oh man, that's a wolf," or, you know, "I bet he could bite your arm off," and all kinds of ridiculous stuff. And I actually had to stop out of the way. I was over in the meat section, and you know they have those big low coolers, and there's about 8 feet in between the ends of each cooler. And then in the aisle, to make like a third wall, there was a big display of pie crusts and stuff. So I kind of had a little secluded cove where I could stop, and I had to squat down and take a Skeeter break, I call it, where I get some deep pressure therapy. And it helps me relax. I get my breath back under control. The anxiety starts to lower. And one of the ladies from the meat department, she had butcher apron on, came over and said, "You know, sir, are you okay?" And I told her, "I'll be fine." She said, you know, we do have this online ordering process where you can do it all online and just come pick it up and you don't have to come in the store. Now, that still bothers me because the whole reason I use a service dog is so that I don't have to be isolated, so that I can do things like go shopping. But at the same time, just what you just said about the manager, you know, blocking off the aisle and everything, I'm getting an understanding here that she was trying to help me deal with a situation that was clearly overwhelming. And again, it probably wasn't the smartest thing for me to be in the Walmart at you know, 10 or 11 in the morning Thanksgiving week when everybody's doing all their scramble last-minute shopping. But so I'm seeing both sides here. She genuinely wanted to help. She just made the wrong suggestions to do so. But that leads into your experience because we go shopping together, and of course I take Skeeter, because without Skeeter I panic and I end up sitting in the truck. So from a third party perspective, what's it like walking through a store, not having a service dog, but being with somebody who does?
It's like walking through the carnival. It's like a circus. It's insane. And if it's a place that's rarely had a service dog, like this town, oh, let's just say I don't know how I haven't legally been removed from anywhere. We'll just start backwards at our most recent. Yesterday was, I would really love to have a service dog. I just walked in the building, hadn't even got started, and I turned and looked at this lady who is laughing her tail off and went, "So you want to be disabled?" She actually laughed and walked off. It just mind-boggling.
Well, even before we made it in the store yesterday, in a parking spot, I'm trying to put Skeeter's vest on in the truck, and these people in the car next to us are just staring. Like, oh my God, oh my God, look at that dog. And it was so bad, I left Skeeter in the truck, got out of the truck, and went to the other side to unload him and finish putting his vest on him, because they just would not stop gawking. It's like they've never, ever seen a dog before.
It's like you painted him purple, put on some glitter, added a horn, and bam, there you go. You got a service unicorn.
Apparently.
I mean, we've been chased down in the parking lot by a person in a vehicle. We've had parents tell their children to follow us through the store till they could sneak a pet. We've had adults cooing and awing, and just, it's amazing that I listen to teenagers tell their parents that they're being wrong, that they know better. Mom, Dad, that's a service dog. Stop. That's not what you do, you know? And it's hard because when you've got kids that are really, really tiny and don't know the difference, their parents, yes, should try to stop them, but we all know kids are fast, you know? Skeeter isn't the greatest fan of kids, but he loves babies. You know, if he sees a baby, he always, always talks. Mm-hmm. And so you've got baby going by and you've got Skeeter going woo, woo, woo. And we're like, you can't steal a baby, you know? Because I have no doubt that if he could put one in a purse, he would.
And carry it around.
He would take a baby.
He loves babies.
He loves babies. But then you have people that are mentally unable to understand, and the people that are with them do their best. And I can give an example of that. We had a trip, and there was an elderly gentleman with what was obvious some form of dementia, and his daughter, well, he just comes mosey on up the first time she grabs him. Mm-hmm. And you know, we get in that stance, and I turned around and I was like, let him come over, he doesn't understand, let him come over. And Skeeter knew it. He's brilliant when it comes to people. He knew it. So we end up going all the way through the store and ending up at the checkout together. Well, bless this poor woman. She's trying to pay, and this man's trying to run off. Mm-hmm. She couldn't do both. So we offered for him to come back over, and Skeeter pretty much sat with him while she got everything done, and when it was all done, the lady was in tears thanking us. So everybody goes, what would you do in this situation? I don't know until it happens.
Yeah.
95% of the time, I just grumble something very vet-like that I can't say on this show. If you listen to my show, you would hear it. But very unlady vet-like that I don't say to them. But every once in a while, something will be so stupid, or I've already had enough, because his anxiety makes my anxiety go cuckoo. Well, I don't use a service dog. And I'm not even sure I could actually handle that. I hear a lot of people saying, I want to be an ambassador. Everybody who has a service dog should be an ambassador. I cannot be an ambassador. If I go to the grocery store, yes, I work there. It's a lot different. I can keep away from people. In my job, I don't have to deal with people. I can dodge everybody all day long. But I also have safety measures in place for when I'm not doing good. When you're grocery shopping and you're not at your job, it doesn't work the same. I don't have my corner that I go crouch in, or I don't have my go walk, or I don't have my headphones. You know, because up until I started going with you guys, I always wore headphones, so I can't hear anything. My biggest aggravation is sound. It drives me batty. I can't take it. No. And then the worse the noise gets, the worse I get, the more agitated, angry, up to and or violence. But it's like you have to be an ambassador, but I don't want to be an ambassador. I want to go get what I need and get out. But they distract you so bad, 95% of the time you don't even get what you need. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-mm.
Well, you know, a service dog, by definition, by legally, but per the ADA, is a piece of medical equipment. It is a living equivalent to a wheelchair or a walker or something like that. You don't get people cooing at wheelchairs and asking to pet walkers, or, you know, admiring canes and asking, well, why do you have to use it? But you get all of that with a service dog. You get people making goo-goo eyes and, oh, and making all these noises and stopping. Oh, you know, I had a dog like that back in, you know, summer of 03. And, you know, you get all this ridiculous interaction when all you want to do is go shop. And it's, with a very few exceptions, I have talked to a couple of veterans, one who handles a very large Rottweiler, one who handles a Doberman Pinscher. These are breeds that are traditionally known as being aggressive or dangerous, and so people tend to give these breeds a wide berth. Skeeter, on the other hand, is an Alaskan Malamute in the South, is unique. There are not many. I can probably throw a rock and hit the one other Malamute owner in the entire state. You know, it's not a common animal.
Literally, maybe out of 200 people, two have walked straight up and known it was a Malamute without reading his vest or us turning around going, it's not a Husky.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very, it's so rare that it's causing this problem. But the whole thing is, it's still a service dog. It's marked. Well,
that's just
We don't go into Walmart. It's not required, but we don't go into Walmart without a vest, because it would be, ooh, that day would, that's the day Nevermore goes to jail, because you go hit somebody. Y'all just don't know. Unless you own a service dog or are in a population very rich in service dogs, mm-hmm, with what I will say, local breeds, mm-hmm, that people are used to seeing. I don't know if it's unpleasant everywhere, because I have been in Oregon and it was unpleasant there. They were still idiots.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there are places that it's such a norm, but I asked my friend today that used to work at this local store, and I was like, how many service dogs have you seen? Real service dogs? She goes, two. So there's only two service dog handlers that frequent that store enough for people to remember them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, it comes back to education, portrayal of factual information in the news. Factual information. You know, maybe it would be worth pursuing designing a very simple but clear sign defining a service dog and giving some very simple etiquette points. Don't harass the handler. Don't make hissy noises at the dog. Ignore the dog. It's just there to assist its disabled handler, and you interfering with the dog is causing issues.
But Walmart as a person's not going to hand out pamphlets to individuals. No, so I'm saying, where would, but
Walmart
my question would be.
Walmart has put up signs that say service dogs only. That's pretty recent. Maybe underneath it, when you see a service dog, this is how you should act. Maybe an education campaign like that, especially at places like Walmart, which seem to attract, and no offense, but there's a whole website just dedicated to the people of Walmart. I mean, you get some interesting types go to Walmart at all hours in all manner of dress and apparently all manner of or levels
well,
of inebriation.
Well, if you get me into talking about the different clientele, we'll be here all night. So we'll go into the where I'm at, it's more service dogs. So I've gotten really great grasp on, and this was even before Skeeter, the real from the unreal. We actually have a cooperative trainer in that area. Mm-hmm. And when she gets, because her class is a year, and when she gets to the last 3 months, they start public access. Mm-hmm. And this is after she's already trained the dog for a year. But they come there to do public access. They stay in a group. You'll see four or five of them and her without a dog, but four dog owners. And you will see her teaching them the proper way to do public access. Now, for some reason, not a soul messes with them. Not a soul. Because it's a pack of them. So, oh, they're in training. But you don't know how many times I've heard walking by, don't bother that doggy, he's in training. No, that's fully trained. I don't know how much in training, but it's just how people read. But I've also heard some really good parents, even though it really bothers me that we have to hear the comments, but I've heard some really good parents, shh, don't do that. That's a service dog. Well, what's that mean? And them take the time to explain. Mm-hmm. I've heard other kids educating their friends. You know, there is some right, but there is, there's nothing in school for it.
All the bad things that happened yesterday at Walmart, one of the good things was the girl with the bright purple hair turning around to her friends and saying, knock that off. That's a service dog. You can't distract that dog.
Actually, I think it was her sisters and because her mom was there.
Yeah.
And her mom and the two younger of the two were all cooing. And she confronted her mom and both of them and was like, you don't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, out the mouth, the babes. I mean, she knows better, but the adult doesn't.
It's really frustrating. It's a challenge. It's part of why I decided to write the book, PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder and the Service Dog. I mean, the education included in the book and on the webpage, the Facebook page, is for both sides of the story, for handlers and for the general public, so they can understand. And maybe if we can get the education out there more, we can lessen the impact that an uneducated public dealing with a service dog and their handler creates. Because it can take something that used to be normal before Skeeter. I used to be able to go to the store, do my shopping, leave. Then PTSD happened. I couldn't go to the store. Then I got Skeeter. I could go to the store again, but now there's a whole new set of issues. Skeeter, 99% of the time, is effective in helping me deal with anything that occurs so that I can continue to get my shopping done. But there's that 1% of the time where it even gets through Skeeter, and I've had enough. Yesterday was one of them where we were just like, that's it, we're done. Let's go, because the stupid was strong.
Well, I don't know if you can remember your kindergarten, elementary school years, but they would always bring police and their dogs to introduce us, you know, to support the police, don't be scared of the police campaigns. And they would give lectures on what to do around a police dog. But yet there is nothing I've ever seen in any school brought home throughout my school. And now that I have a kid who's 14 now and been through it, nothing about a service dog. He wouldn't know if we didn't tell him. He didn't know what to do with Skeeter at first.
Yeah. Well, there's another place where we may be able to start some kind of an education campaign. Start it locally and maybe grow it to nationwide. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Well, I mean, going to a pet store and talking about a service dog is not effective because they're not going to understand the difference. It's got to start somewhere with education. I don't want to be the ambassador. I think that the public should respect it a little bit more because I'm not going to go up and be like, hey, bro, nice walker.
Yeah.
Glad you're disabled. You know, high five. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you're doing with us. You're giving us a high five, only I want to give you a throat punch back.
And there you have it from Disgruntled Vets Own Nevermore. You can find Disgruntled Discussions also on DV Radio, WDVR. Now on its new time on Wednesday nights at 2000 or 8 p.m. if you're a potato, Eastern Standard Time. You can find the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog the first and third Sundays of the month at 8 p.m., also 2000, also Eastern Standard Time, both on dvradio.net, WDVR. I am glad to have had you on the show. Thank you very much for taking a little bit of time and giving me a different perspective.
Roger that.
That's it for tonight. Thank you once again to DV Radio, WDVR, for helping us out by airing The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog.
DV Radio.